Stuff. Yeah.
So, we are up to page 15 now. Exercises, lesson 8. So, okay, so I just go through this exercise. First one here. Ahang tena samayena raja maha sudassano ahosin. So here you have the verb again at the end, as usual. And it's the verb to be in the aorist tense, and it's the first person singular. Ahosin, I was, quite literally, I was. And because it is a verb to be in there, it is basically an equational sentence. So you don't expect to have any accusatives, you just have nominatives agreeing with each other. That's what the equational sentence basically is. Don't normally have accusatives, because the verb to be doesn't have an object. It just says A is B, and both have to be in the nominative. So, what is in the nominative? Ahang is a nominative, I. And then you have Raja and Mahasudassano, both in nominatives. That's I, King, Mahasudassano was, quite literally. So, you make that into ordinary English, it becomes I was King Mahasudassana. And then you have this Tena Samayena thing, and that we looked at that last time, and this is one of those introductory phrases that you find in many, many suttas, and it basically means at that time. So it loses kind of its instrumental sense, and it just means idiomatically at that time. So at that time, I was King Mahasudassana. It's the kind of thing the Buddha would say about his past lives, right? At that time, I was so and so. Danena natti punyan. This is one of the views of the six kind of what they call often the heterodox teachers, the non-Buddhist teachers, which you find in the suttas quite a bit. And here you have the verb is atti, to be, and you add the n in front, natti, so it means there isn't, quite literally. Because again, there's a verb to be, you expect it is an equational sentence between two things, and so you look for a nominative, and punyan is a nominative, so it means merit. So you have literally, there is no merit. There is no merit, or it is not meritorious, so there is no merit. And then you have the dhanena, which then is the instrument, right? Instrumental is the instrument, in this case, through which you make merit. So there is no merit through giving, or by giving here. Dana, giving here. By giving, there isn't merit, quite literally. There is no merit through giving him.
So giving doesn't bring merit, it's not quite accurate.
Well, there's no word which really means to bring there. If you're going to translate very literally, which I recommend you in the beginning, otherwise it gets confusing very quickly. Mm-hmm. So translate as literally as you possibly can, every single word. Quite literally, there is no, or there isn't merit through giving, by giving. Quite literally. Yeah. Yeah, I recommend that because if you start to, you could argue that bring merit is like, idiomatically is better English, possibly. Maybe not in this case, but there are idioms in English which you prefer to use sometimes. But I would always recommend to first of all translate literally, and then afterwards bring in the proper idiomatic sense in English. Tehang upasankamitva evang badami. So this is a sentence, you have two words. You have first one, you have the very one at the very back, badami, but you also have upasankamitva, which is the gerund, or the absolutive here. And what I recommend you do, and this usually works very easily, is that when you have a number of verbs, start with the first verb first of all, and then translate all the words that go up to the first verb, and then you continue afterwards with the rest of the sentence. So first of all, look at te han upasankamitva. And the reason for that is simply that usually all the words that relate to the first verb are in front of that verb. So every clause in a sentence, this is like a sub-clause of the whole sentence. It's like a sub-sentence, if you like, which ends with upasankamitva, and then the main part of the sentence comes afterwards. So translate each sub-clause first of all, and then you get the whole sentence. So tehan upasankamitva. Upasankamitva means having approached, or having gone to. This is the gerund, the absolutive. And you ask yourself, is there an agent to that verb? And you find the agent must be ahang, it's a nominative. This is not a passive construction, there's no past participles here, there's an ordinary construction, so the nominative is the agent. So I, having approached, and you ask yourself, is there a patient here? And the patient will normally be te here in this case, because te means they or them. So I, having approached them, quite literally here. And one of the important things to remember about this kind of sentence when you have many verbs in it is that all the verbs have the same agent in that sentence. So the same agent for all the verbs. That's an important one thing to remember here. Sometimes you see only one agent, like you do here, and that means that all the verbs have the same agent. The patient can be the same for all verbs, but it doesn't have to be. The patient can vary from verb to verb, but the agent is always the same when you have a series of verbs. Important thing to remember that one. So you start off, I having approached them, evang vadami, and the second verb is I say, and then the evang, which is just thus, right? So you can see here, the vadami has the same agent as the first verb, ahang, I say. So having approached them, I say thus, or I say so, or I say this, or something like that. Or I having approached them, I say thus to them. That's another possibility.
Could you
translate
say?
Yeah. No, well, you could. If vadami is a historic present tense, it can be said. But the verb vadami is present tense. So from if you have no context, you have to assume that it's present tense, I say. But in a certain context, it would be historic present, which means it actually means I said it. So depending entirely on the context.
So you can't. You said you can translate it. I say this to them. The te being to them.
Yeah. Okay. The te can also be distributive over to both verbs. So having approached them, I say to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't have to repeat it.
You don't have to repeat it. Just like the agent can be can be distributive the same way the patient can be as well. Yeah.
So even if you translate, I say this. You know, like after I approached them, I said this.
After I approach them, I said, well, it's sort of implied that you're saying to them anyway, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to sort of spell it out, you can say, having approached them, I said this to them.
But you couldn't just say, having approached, I say this to them.
You could. Whatever is a natural English idiom, I would say, at the end of the day, is what you would say. Yeah. So I went to them and said them, right? That's what we said in English. I went to them and said them. Mm-hmm. I went to them and said this, and whatever that is.
I went to them and I spoke.
Yeah, or spoke, depending on what kind of conversation you have, I suppose. I approached them and said this.
Thus I spoke.
Yeah. That sounds a bit formal, though. I spake thus.
Unless you...
being literal, you know?
Well, unless you're pointing out the thing that you said, the evang, unless you're saying, I said this.
That's exactly what's happening here. That's why the evang is there. Because the evang is pointing to something
that
you said.
Then you said you spoke. Because you'd want to point out the evil.
Yeah, I said this. Yeah. Okay, next one. Man abhivadetva pakami. So here again you have two verbs. Start with the first one, abhivadetva, which literally means having paid homage or having paid respect or having bowed down or something like that. All of those are possible translations. So having greeted, greeted is a little bit weak because it means more than just greeting. It means greeting in a formal way. You know, you bow down to somebody. So having bowed down, then you ask, what is the agent here? Now there is no nominative in that sentence, so you might conclude that there is no agent. But if you go to the last verb in the sentence, pakami, that's the third person singular. So it's he left, right? So because the agent is the same for both verbs, you can assume that there isn't he here, which actually is the agent for both of these verbs, right? So because the agent is he for the last verb, the agent must also be he for the first verb. So he, having paid respects, mang is the accusative, so that's the person you're paying respect to, so it's to me. So he, having paid respect to me, pakami, left, aorist.
Oh, the mang was to me, where is it?
It's the accusative of I, so it should be in the it should be lesson 4 or something, where we have the pronouns. Lesson 5, maybe? Lesson 5, probably. Page 28. Top, at the top table, page 28, you have Mang.
Yeah. Mang.
Accusative of me. Accusative of I. Yeah.
So the I have a funny note. I don't remember, but Pakami.
Yeah.
Why does it have a long A? I guess that's what I'm asking. Why I'm asking.
It's just the way that word is formed, I suppose. It's formed that way. Yeah, it has a long A there. Yeah. It's a terrible accent. You know, sometimes it's just like that. Yeah.
I guess I can't find the form of it.
Let's have a look at the A list again then.
You can't really say that anyway, can you?
Sorry?
Pakami.
Pakami. Pakami. You can say Pakami. Pakami.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Upasan.
Maybe it's not where they spoke. They didn't say Pakami, they said Pakami.
It says on page 24 it has irregular lengthening here. Of the in the singular, so it's irregular lengthening. It's just one of those things that languages has. That's what it's saying. But page 24 says it has irregular lengthening in the singular. If I can't mean. It's not an augment because the augment is would have to come before between the pa at the first a. Yeah, it would have to be. It's not actually an augment. This is completely irregular. It's not the augments. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, next one. Disva evang abochungha. So again, you have two verbs, disva and abochungha. The first of disva literally means having seen. And you can ask yourself, is there an agent here? And again, there's always an agent because the last verb has an implied agent, abochungha, which means they said, right? Or is it
we said?
Is it we said, is it? Okay, sorry. There you go. Yep. You could be very well be right. We said. Okay, so it's first person plural, yeah. There you go, it's easy to get these things wrong here. So, yeah, so having seen, so we is the agent here, so we having seen, and then said evang thus. So we having seen, said thus. Or having seen, we said thus, or something like that. Yeah, it's abo. What is it, the third person group? Abo. Abo chingsu, or something like that? Oh, there we are. Abochung. Okay, abochung. Yeah, yeah.
Abochung.
Abochung, yeah. Abochung. Yeah, abochung.
Yeah.
Okay, next one.
32.
What you can do, remember that there is actually a very good index in the back. So if there is a word that you are not sure about, you can just look it up in the index in the back. And if you look, for example, if you look up avocha, yeah, it doesn't have that there. Okay, so much for that.
You mean the index or the table?
I was thinking in the grammatical index, actually, yeah. But sometimes you have individual words in the grammatical index, and it tells you where to look for them. But in this case. Yeah, anyway. So, next one. Ditta bo satta jivasi. Ditta bo satta jivasi. So here you have only one verb, that's jivasi. Ditta here is actually not past participle or anything. It looks a bit like a past participle, you see. But here it actually means something like excellent or splendid, or it's wonderful, or something like that, it seems. Yeah, something like that, it seems. So, jivasi is a second person present tense. It's to live, right? So, you live is basically what it means. You live. And then the rest here, and there's no agent apart from that. There's no nominative, there's no agent. The rest are just indeclinables and vocatives. Bo satta are both vocatives. And it means like, sir being. Bo means sir. And satta is being. So you're saying to somebody, sir being.
From the small dictionary.
Sir.
It says that you address a friend.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean, that wouldn't say you say sir. It says like, you know, buddy.
Not bo, avuso is friend. But bo is honorific. It means
really?
Like you're honor or something. Yeah, it's like the Brahmin.
Addressing a friend.
I think maybe it's Brahmin friendship. The Brahmins maybe do that, but it is apparently it's honorific. For example, when the Brahmin goes to the Buddha and speaks to him for the first time, he would say, call him Bo Gautama. Okay. He wouldn't be a friend. He would be like, you know, somebody he reveres. So Bodhisattva means something like honorable being, honorable creature, you know, something like that. It doesn't make any sense in English, but you have to somehow, you know, basically probably just translate as your honor or something like that.
Where is that from in the suttas or whatever?
I think this is from the Dhammacakka Sihanada Sutta in the Digha, you know, where they have to go through the sword period. They'll cut each other down and they'll live for the 10 years older. And then after the sword period, they all die. Just still some alive, and find out, oh, yeah, you're still alive, good being, you know, something like that.
What did you say?
I think it's called the Dhammacakka Sihanada Sutta.
Dhammacakka Sihanada.
I think it's 27, I think. 26 or 27, Digha Nikaya.
The reference is here.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
That's the page number. Yeah. Volume 3, right? Digha Nikaya, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So the whole thing then means something like splendid, splendid sir being. You are living.
Everybody under the age of 10 comes out
of speak. Well, the thing is that they become they're fully grown, but it's just, you know, 5 or something, yeah. So they only become 10 years old. It's like, you know, I mean, the whole one of the things about the lifespan of human beings that it oscillates between 10 years up to 80,000 years according to the suttas. So, you
know. Oh, but you mature faster.
Yeah, you mature faster, exactly. This is one of the things. Yeah. I don't know. So that's essentially what it means. So I guess we can move on then. Jayang Verang Pasavati. So here again, there's two verbs. It's jayang. Actually, jayang, it seems, could be either a noun or a verb. It depends on the. It's not clear what it is. But it could be taken as a present participle, jayang. And pasavati is another verb. Let's start with the first verb, jayang, which means literally, it comes from the verb to win. So this means like winning, quite literally here. Winning. Remember, present participle is the ing ending, right? So once you understand that this is from the verb to win, which is. Jayati, isn't it? Jayati, exactly. Yeah, page 49. Oh. Jayati to win. Yeah. So jayati, and so this then becomes winning. Yeah. And again, you can ask yourself, is there an agent for that verb? And again, the agent will be the same as the agent. If there is no nominative in the sentence, it will be the same as the agent of the last verb. So it's simply he, right? He, or third person singular. So he, winning, so winning agrees with the he, because winning here is a nominative as well. So it's like an adjective to, it's like almost like an adjective to he who is winning, right? He who is tall, he who is winning, same kind of idea, he who is whatever. He is winning. And then the last word, pasavati, means like to generate. So he who is winning generates, and what he generates is the accusative here, vera, which is like hatred or anger. Yeah. So he who is winning generates hatred.
I looked at the he, like the Ivan Pasavati, that's he generates.
Yeah.
But with the winning, you can't find that he.
The point again is that just like the previous sentence, that the agent is the same for all the verbs, right?
Oh, okay.
So jayang is the present participle that also has the agent. So he who is winning.
In English, you could just say winning generates hatred.
Winning could
be the subject, and it's an nominative.
Yeah.
Are you saying in Pali you can't do that?
You might do. That might be correct. Yeah. You could say winning generates hatred. That's quite possible. Yeah. Could be quite right.
I wonder what the usual.
Laughter. Superiority.
People are envious. I'm not 100% sure of that one, but that's a kind of grammatical thing that the only way you can really find out is to look at lots of different cases and actually find a clear example with, you know, where that is the case. So I cannot guarantee you that is right, but the meaning is roughly the same anyway, you know. The meaning is, whether you say he who is winning generates hatred or winning generates hatred, you're basically saying the same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially. Anyway, let's move on. Brahmano Brahmuna Manteti. So here you have a very simple sentence again. Manteti is like to take counsel. And it's third person singular present tense, so he takes counsel. Is there an agent? And the agent must be Brahmano, nominative. So that goes in place of he. So the Brahmin takes counsel, or the priest takes counsel. And then you have Brahmuna, which is the instrumental here. So that is who he takes counsel with, right? So the Brahmin takes counsel with Brahma, or God, if you like, or the Hindu god. You must have some serious meditation, Mr. Kalam. Brahmana, I think it's given quite recently with all the instrumental on page 42. Top table on page 42. Brahman, Brahmana. Yeah. But this is where these tables come in very handy. Because this is I'll give these tables to later on. These are grammatical tables, and I will get this one later on. But these are very handy because it gives you, on the very top here, it gives you the different endings of the nouns. So you know that Brahman is an A-A-N noun because it ends in A-N. Then you go down and so we find Brahmuna. My sight is getting worse. Brahmuna. It's a neuter noun. Brahmuna, there it is. Instrumental singular, and then you find that's right over this. That is the way to go in the future to have these tables. Otherwise, it's so hard to find in this book. So, yeah. Okay, I will get that one too later on. Evan Bhoti. So this very very simple sentence, and you usually again there's no verb here at all. So what you do is you add the verb to be, right? But add the verb Bhoti. So it is, and then you have thus. Or yes, thus. So evan, thus it is, bo, sir, right? Thus it is, sir. Or simply, yes, sir. That's another way of putting it. End quote, exactly. We'll quote around the whole thing, yeah. Thus it is, sir, yes, sir. Something like that. Okay, handa vata bo gachama. So again, the last verb here is gachama. Last word is gachama, the verb. We go. This could also be imperative, which in this case would mean something like let's go, right? Imperative, if it's first person or third person, is like an invitation or polite wish. It's not actually a command. It's on the second person, which is command. So gachama here, the form of the present tense in imperative is exactly the same. So it can either mean we go or it can mean let's go. And you can only know that from the context, really. So here, the other three words are, we have bo, which again is a vocative, it means like, sir, your honor, sir. And then we have handavata, which are just two indeclinables, which means something like, well, surely, or well, it's some, you know, some kind of vague thing, but let's, you know, okay. Well, surely.
Okay.
Okay, maybe, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Modern language. It's true, actually. It would be good to have some okays, that sort of stuff. I agree with that. Yeah. Dude.
Yeah, okay, man.
Okay, man. Let's go. Okay, man. Let's go. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so basically, if we use the okay here, it means like, okay, sir, let's go. Okay, buddy. Okay, buddy, let's go. I think that it's very likely to mean let's go here because you're speaking to somebody.
I just think it would be buddy.
Would be buddy, okay.
Okay, okay. So let's go. Dude Reno.
Old sport, how about old sport? Old sport.
Old bean,
that's a good one. Okay, old bean, then let's go. Yeah. So anyway, you get the idea. Okay. Next one is kalang karonto avocha. So here we have two verbs, karonto and avocha. We take, as always, the first verb first. Karonto, present participle, mean from the verb to do. So it means doing or making. That's what it literally means. Making, doing. And you ask yourself, is there an agent here? And the agent would be the same as the last verb, which is third person singular, so it's he doing, he making something. And then you have kalang here. Now the point here, and this is the important point, is that kalang, karamto, those two words together are an idiomatic meaning for saying dying. So this actually means together, these two words together means dying rather than doing. So dying. So what you have then is that you have he dying, or he who is dying. Right? He dying, he who is dying. Then you have avocha, said, third person aorist of vachati. He who is dying said, or dying, he said, or something like that.
The karoto.
Yeah.
How do I know how to build that? It comes from karoto.
The NT, remember that the NT ending, NT and then a vowel, like it has here, or vowel NTO, vowel NT vowel, that is the standard look of a present participle. That's what a present participle looks like.
Where does the O come from? The O is because
it's nominative. The last O, or which O are we talking about? The last one, it's nominative, right?
It's nominative.
It agrees with the agent.
Right.
Yeah. So dying. He who is dying. He who is dying.
So
it's not the agent, karont. Karont, yeah. And then you have the ending depending on the context, what it is. Yeah.
And
if
it's a she,
karonta? Probably yes. Karanta. Yes, that's an important point. It always, here it agrees with the agent, and you can see that from the O ending. That's a very, very important point, actually. Okay, Raja Samano Idan Labati. So two verbs again, Samano and Labati. And Samano is from the verb Ati. It means, again, it's a present participle, but it means being. Quite literally, being.
Or was it man? Samana. What's the man?
Man? Purisa is man, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Samana was being.
Yeah. Samana is like an ascetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Samana. Samana.
This is different.
Yeah, it's different.
Samana.
Yeah. Samano doesn't have a long A, and it has a dot under the end, so it's a different word.
Yeah.
It looks similar. It looks a bit different. Yeah. So being, and you see here that being, again, just like Nikita was saying, this is now in the nominative again, nominative singular. So because of that, it would agree with the agent in the sentence. Now the agent in the sentence must be Raja, because it is nominative as well. So the king being, or the king who is being, or being a king, maybe. You know, all of these are possibilities. Being a king, the king being. And then you have Ibdan Labati. Labati, he gains. So remember now that the agent is still the same. So the king is still the agent. So he gains, refers back to the king gains. And Ibdan here is likely to be the accusative, likely to be the patient of this one here. So what he gains is this. So being a king, he gains this. Or being the king, he gains this. Janang Jayati. Now this is probably Adam Brahms, one of his nice, famous, preferred sentences. Janang Jayati. The verb here is jayati, which can have two meanings. It can either mean to burn, or it can mean to meditate. Now here it means to meditate. Or, to be quite literally, I would say that this word actually means practices jhana. That's what I would say it means. Because jayati is derived exactly from the word jhana. Jhana in the sutras always mean the four jhanas. So jayati, as far as I can see, must pretty much also mean actually practicing jhana. That's an important thing, because people it's usually translated as meditate. Meditate is such a vague word, you know. But if you translate as practice as jhana, it becomes very specific and very clear what's going on there. Mm. So that maybe it's just a little bit too narrow, but then it's not far from the truth that it actually means that. So meditate, and then
Ajahn once suggested that a lot of this is doubled up, like where you go, he's cycling cycles.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So that this is quite idiomatic as well.
Yeah. Precisely.
Oh, so you can't say he meditates. You have to say he meditates.
Yeah, precisely. Exactly. Because they refer to the same thing, the verb and the noun. That's quite common in Pali, precisely. Yeah.
Is jhana the common term in Pali for meditate? Jhana?
Jhana is meditation, right? It's a noun. Jayati is the verb to meditate. Jhana is like meditation.
So it's not specific the way it is in English.
It is. That's the thing. It is both. It is both specific and not specific, because the word itself, the word jhana, is actually existed in India before the time of the Buddha, and it had a much bigger meaning in those days. It basically meant meditation or contemplation or thinking or something like that. Just like meditation in English traditionally means thinking about something, you meditate on something, you sort of think and reflect on it to think about it. Mm-hmm. But jhana for the Buddha, he gave it a very specific meaning. It means the four jhanas. And it always means that in the suttas, pretty much. There are maybe one or two minor exceptions, but generally speaking, it always means the four jhanas. Mm-hmm. So it's like an evolution of the word. So in other contexts, outside of Buddhism, it might not mean that. So jayati, he meditates. And what he meditates is the accusative, is jhana. So he meditates jhana, or he jhana meditates jhana, or he practices jhana, basically. Yeah. Okay. Mayam bhagavantam saranam gacchama damancha. So again, you have, not again, here is only one verb, that's gacchama, which is we go. And present tense, first person plural, and you have the agent mayan at the very beginning there, which just reinforces that we go. And where we are going is we are going bhagavantam sadanam. This is an interesting case of the word gacchama having two independent patients. Is what they call it, a bi-transitive verb. Bi-transitive means that it has two patients, right? Yeah. So, you go to the Blessed One for refuge. You go to the Blessed One for refuge.
We go, exactly.
We go to the Blessed One for refuge. Yeah. That's basically what it means. So, it has this double accusative here, two different words. So. And in English, you have to put in the little words to and for, which you don't find in the Pali, for it to make sense. The Pali is just, we go, Blessed One, refuge. Dhammancha and the Dhamma. So it's like almost like an afterthought. We go to the Blessed One for refuge and the Dhamma. Or we go to the Blessed One and the Dhamma for refuge.
Normally it's twice.
Here is only once, yeah.
If it would be twice, it should be
after Bhagavantam, yeah? Because you are the two refuges are Bhagavantam and Dhamman, right? Yeah. So you're going to Bhagavantam and Dhamman for refuge. So the cha should be after Bhagavantam, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They frequently drop the cha, isn't it? But never the
P. It's quite common. P's and vas are not usually dropped, but cha is . But you usually, if you had both chas, usually you would restructure the whole sentence. And that's the point here, because usually the words that are connected with cha, they will stand next to each other. So usually it would be Maihan Bhagavantam cha Dhamman cha Sadhaman gacchama. That's usually how it would be like, look like. And that is why I think there's only one cha, because the Dhamman comes like an afterthought. I mean, the main refuge is the Buddha. Dhamma is an afterthought. For that reason, you only have one cha now. So otherwise it doesn't work. Yeah. Jivitang demi. Demi is I give. First person singular, present tense, I give. And what I give is the accusative here. Jivitang, which means life. I give life. For somebody who thinks they are very, very powerful.
Is that some God statement?
I can't remember now what it is. What is the reference there, Buddha Rakita, to that last one there?
I give life, the first volume, 148, I don't know.
What page is it then? Page 148?
This is, I grant them their life, so it could be a king.
I grant them their life.
No, I give life, it probably means something like that.
No, it's probably, in context, it means I grant them their life, so that could be a king.
Yeah.
It sounds to me more like about views, but I'm a Brahman, and I grant life.
Is that what it's from?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't think so. No? I don't think it is, actually. Because...
it's a verse.
I think it has to do with the sacrifice of animals. and there is a king who is persuaded by the Buddha that he shouldn't be sacrificing animals, and he says, okay, I grant them life, I give them life.
Okay. Oh.
He wasn't going to sacrifice them, but he changed his mind there. I think that's the context, yeah, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Kudadanta Sutta. It's just from deity and the deity.
Precisely, I give, yeah. Yeah, I give, I grant.
Dhamma is some past
perception. Data? Dadati, you mean?
No.
Deity or Dadati are the two versions of that word.
Data means
Dati. Data, yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah. Give me, yeah, that's THA. That's you plural, right? You're saying to the Sangha, Deta me bante, Sangha, you honorable sirs, venerable sir, please give me.
Yes.
You're saying to the number of people, that's why it's Deta. You plural, you plural.
Because it's with the current form,
it's Deta me bante. Yeah,
yeah.
Venerable sirs, grant me the number four. It's a plural. Yeah.
Right.
Second person plural, yeah. Yeah. Okay, shall we move on to the English into Pali?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. They enter by this gate. We have a bit more time, so we can do a bit more stuff, so that's great. They enter by this gate. So to enter in Pali is pavisati. So they enter becomes pavisanti. And you don't need any agent there. You can just leave it out. It's all implied by the verbs pavisanti. And then you have by this gate. Now, because it's by, the by is the instrumental. It's the instrument by which you enter. So this is going to be instrumental, by this gate. And this gate is one thing. So both of these verbs will have to be in the instrumental, right? Because this refers to the same gate. Gate refers to this. This is one idea. This car, the green car, it's a demonstrative pronoun pointing out the gate. So they will both have to be instrumental. So gate is dvara, instrumental, dvarena. And gate, and this can be something like imina. Imina is instrumental form. So imina dvarena pavisanti, something like that. I might get some of these wrong, so just correct me if I do, because I haven't actually looked it up, but I'm just making myself some educated guesses as to what it is.
Why isn't it dvarena?
Dvarena is the instrumental there.
Okay.
I enter by the gate. Dvarang. Dvarang is accusative.
Yeah.
Dvarena doesn't exist because of thing, yeah.
What's
the imina? Imina is this, right?
This.
Yeah. By this gate. Yeah.
When you change the
pronouns
into.
By this gate. Okay, the king, having greeted the fortunate one, sat down. So again, if we work from the verbs here, you have two verbs, having greeted, and then you have sat down. So using the first verb first, having greeted, is abhivadetva, like we had before. Yeah? And the person who is doing the greeting is the king, so he will have to be in the nominative, so it's a raja. The one he greets is a fortunate one, so that's the bhagavantan, accusative. So you have raja, bhagavantan, abhivadetva, and then you have sat down at the end, and sat down is nisidi. Nisidi is the past, the aorist for nisidati, nisidi. So the agent is of course the same, the king is the same, so all you need to do is to have king once, because it's the same. So raja, bhagavantan, abhivadetva, is it nisidi or
nisidi?
Nisidi, yeah. Nisidi, yeah. Make sense? Happy with that one? Yeah. Having approached and greeted the fortunate one, they sat down. Now this translation is not very good. I prefer saying something like, having approached, comma, having greeted the fortunate one, they sat down. Because in Pali it's a sequence of events. So it's much better to translate as a sequence rather than using an and in there. So I would say, having approached is upasankamitva, and greeted is again abhivadetva. And what is greeting is a fortunate one. So here you would probably put fortunate one in front of greeted, because that is the verb that it relates to here, right? So you have something like upasankamitva, bhagavantan abhivadetva, and then they sat down, nisidinsu, third person plural aorist. So abhivadetva, bhagavantan abhivadetva, nisidinsu. Happy with that? Yeah? Having approached them, I ask these questions. So again, we have divided, use the first verb first, having approached them. Having approached here, again, is upasanka mitva, and them is te, that's the personal pronoun plural, accusative, right? So it's te. So te upasanka mitva, and I is like the, you can put ahang in front of that if you like as well, because ahang is the agent here. So you can say ahang te upasanka mitva, if you like. And then you have asked these questions at the end there. So ask is, because I is the agent, it's puchami, it's present tense. And then these questions, question is panya, so panya becomes plural, so it's panye, accusative plural, panye. And then you have the these would be then ime, presumably, ime, panye. So the whole thing ends up something like aham te upasankamitva ime panye puchami. Usually nominative is first, but it can be either way. Yeah, tehan, ahang te, whatever. Yeah, either way is fine. Yeah.
If it's plural first, would you leave the e out and say tehan? Would you have apostrophe tehan?
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Mm. You'd rather leave the a out, not the e.
Oh.
Tehan, as you said, right?
Tehan. No, I said the other.
Email these questions. Having approached them, now that's all that's what we just did, so let's move on. Having dressed, taking a ball, I entered the village. Now this is very tricky because he said he's taking a ball, which sounds like the answer should be a present participle, but in fact it should be, the correct translation here is actually using absolute or a gerund. So you should really say, having dressed, having taken the ball, I entered the village, to make it feasible for anybody to translate, otherwise it becomes too difficult, basically. Mm. So the having dressed then is nivasetva, okay, nivasetva, that's right, okay, nivasetva, and having taken the ball, having taken is adaya, and the ball is patang. Patang becomes in the accusative, patang. So,
but the gahetva is wrong here?
Gahetva? Well, it's wrong in the sense that in the sutras it's always adaya. So it's not necessarily wrong in terms of, you could maybe say it, but the standard saying is adaya. Nivasetva patang adaya, I entered the village. Entered is again pavisi, because it's aorist, and the village is gamang. Gamang must be in the accusative, because that's what you enter. So you can say something like, you can even put an ahang in there, the I if you like. So ahang nivasetva patang adaya gamang pavisi.
In the sutras, do they use the aham or not?
Often they do, sometimes they don't. Pavising, right, exactly, precisely, yep, exactly right, yep. Becomes too many factors to think of.
Pavising would be he, is it?
Exactly right, yeah, that's exactly correct, yeah. Yep. Gentlemen, do not say thus. Sounds very formal. Gentlemen, do not say that. So, say here is presumably is either basati or badati, and you are saying to somebody, you're saying to a number of people, so it has to be second person plural, right? So it becomes badata or basata. So let's say it's badata, and then you have to negate that, do not say. So it's na badata, and then you have evas, which is evan. Na evang badata. And then gentleman is just the vocative here, so I presume that's something like just bo, you know. Bo or bonto, maybe bonto is plural, so maybe bonto. Bonto, na bonto evang badata, or something like that. Yeah. Or Okay, it's with mine, isn't it? Okay, so what is happening here is that they are using the ma construction is there. Now, if you use the ma construction, there's always two ways you can make a negation. You can make a negation using ma or na, right? So if it is ma which is used for the negation, then you have to use the aorist. So because of that, you have to use the aorist of avocha. Now, the aorist of avocha, what is that?
It's
avocutta. Right, avocutta, yeah. So you use avocutta, so you say something like ma bonto evan avocutta, or something like that. Yeah?
Avocutta.
Okay, avocutta, yeah.
Ma bonto evan avocutta.
Yep. About, there's two times that verb can have spelled either avocutta or avocutta, depending on circumstances. So, ponto, evan, avocutta. With the ma, you almost always have the aorist with the ma. It loses its reference to past tense. Okay? The Honorable Jyotipala went forth. Now, this is an easy one. So went forth is pabajati is the verb. So this is third person aorist. So it's pabaji. So pabaji is the verb. And the agent here is the Honorable Jyotipala. He's the one who goes forth. So Honorable Jyotipala here is something like bo Jyotipala. Bo Jyotipalo. Bo Jyotipalo. Pabaji.
This is Bhavan.
Bhavan, okay. That's the alternative one. So either Bhavan or Bo. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, next one. Going he sees. Going he sees. So here you have going is like a present participle there. And you can see here that it has to agree with the he, right? It's he who is going, who sees. So the going has to agree with he. Can you see how that works? Going, he sees. It's the agent of the seeing. That is the fellow who is doing the going here. He who is going sees, right? Just like an adjective. He who is tall sees, and he who is going sees. So it has to agree with the he. So the present participle has to agree with the he, so it has to be nominative singular for that reason. So it's nominative singular, and that's from the verb gacchati, so it's gacchang. Gacchang.
Why did you put here or gacchanto?
Because that's an alternative way of writing the nominative singular here. Gacchanto.
Oh, it's the same thing.
It's two different ways, yeah. Gacchanto or gacchang, yeah.
But it's not the absolute thing.
No, this is present participle here.
But it's happening at the same time, isn't it?
That's the whole point. Present participle is what's happening at the same time. Absolutely, it's something that happened before, earlier on. Absolutely, it's having done this, I did that. Present participle is cycling, same time. Yeah. So you're on the right track there, but you've got the wrong tense, so to speak.
Right.
So it's gacchang, he sees. So sees here is presumably passati, is present tense. So gacchang passati, or you can say so gacchang passati or something like that. I do not take counsel with God. Okay, so take counsel is the verb manteti. So I do not take counsel. I would then be mantemi. And not would be na mantemi. So I do not take counsel. The whole thing is simply na mantemi. Five words in English, two in Pali. Pali is much more economical than English is. So na mantemi and with God. So God here is in the instrumental because you have with God. So it's instrumental case. So it's again brahmana. So it's aham brahmana or na aham brahmana mantemi or something like that. Na aham brahmana mantemi.
And if you do it with ma, it's ma brahmanam mantesi.
Something like that.
I thought that would be a command. Don't. How could you use ma?
That's true. Ma is usually used in speech. So that's why it is used before there. So ma is used in a spoken, in a speech. When you're actually saying something to somebody, you're saying, don't do that, don't do that. It's a, as you say, it's a command. Whereas the ordinary negation of an ordinary sentence, we'll use a noun normally. It's, I'll just check that up, go back to the ma and ma construction which we had before on page 31. The second negative, which is the ma, is used for prohibitions of negative injunctions or wishes. So, in other words, usually with a second person. Because you're speaking to somebody, that's why it has to be a second person, right? If it's a prohibition or an injunction or a wish, you are telling somebody, please do this, please don't do that. So, that's quite right. Whereas the ma is a much more general negator of the whole sentence. He entered the house. This is very straightforward. To enter is again pavisati, so this becomes pavisi. He entered, and the house is something like geham or agaram or something like that, of different possible verbs, nouns rather. Gehang is one verb for house. Agadang is one here, I think. Agadang. So that would be the accusative. So, agadang pavisi. He gives a drink. So give is deti. This is the present tense, third verse singular, deti. And he gives a drink. So that would be here be, what is it here, panang or something? So that would be, panang would then be in the accusative. So panang deti. I do not get food. So this is, again, it's, in this case, it obviously is just a na, because this is just a negative sentence. And to get is labati, means to gain. So, because it's I, it's labami, and it's na labami, so I do not get becomes na labami, or ah, or na aham labami. And food here is probably annang. Annang is a general word for food. So it becomes annang, could be bojnang, could be karaniya, could be many different things, depending on the context, depending on the circumstances. And they're all accusative anyway. Bojnang, annang, etc., etc. So ahang, or na ahang, annang, na ahang bojnang, labami.
Before the na went with the aham.
Yeah. Naham. Naham, yeah. Sure.
That was possible.
Sure. Yeah, fine. Just a contraction, but I can speak in, like in French.
No, but with naham, it's on the beginning of the sentence, and with
na
labami, it's at the end.
No, but in English,
oh. No, it's either na bojanang or na annang labami, or it's na ahang annang labami. What are you asking? I'm not sure what you're asking now.
Where na has to be.
Well, na is always at the beginning, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it negates the whole sentence. Not, it doesn't have to be, but it's usually at the beginning of the sentence.
Because in the key here it says, aham,
bhojanam,
na,
labhavam. Does it? Yeah. Okay.
That's what confused me.
So maybe I've probably taken it straight out of the that reference in the sutta. That's what it actually says in the sutta.
Yeah.
That's what it says. So it doesn't have to be at the beginning, but usually it is at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
He sees the garment. Not sure what garment is it? Probably chivara, is that right?
Vattan.
Okay, the cloth usually. Vattan. So he sees the cloth, so vattang with the accusative, and to see is pasati again. So vattang pasati, simple as that. He is satisfied with the resting place. And this gets more interesting. This is not so easy. Here the verb is satisfied, right? Satisfied is a past participle, which is santutta. Santutta is a past participle there. And the verb is hoti, is satisfied, is also in there. So santutta. Now, remember, now the agent of the past participle, remember that the agent has to be, oh, this is going to be difficult, I think, because it doesn't work. Yeah. Yeah, I think Santuddha here works as an adjective rather than actually a verb sentence verb. Because this, I think the right solution here is that it is so Santutto, or so Santutto hoti, I think is the right one. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Santuddha here actually doesn't work as a verb. If it didn't work as a verb, then the he would be he is satisfied. The agent would have to be in the instrumental, right? But it isn't. So Santuddha here is like an adjective. So it's like he is satisfied. It is saying something about he. It is describing him. So that's why it's so Santuddho hoti. And then with the resting place, the resting place is here Sanasana, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes then Sanasanena, the ena ending, which is the instrumental ending. So it becomes something like so Sanasanena Santuddho hoti, or something like that.
What you were deliberating on there, totally don't understand that. What difference does it make? I mean, even if it's the verb, you still have to decline it as a nominative. Oh, right, don't know? Instead of an A, Santutta. I mean, you would.
Yeah, you do. So that's what it is. It is. That's exactly what it is. It is Santutto. So Santutto hoti.
Well, but then you were what you were saying. I thought you were saying that you could make it a different way and use it Santutta and make it a verb. I don't understand.
Well, I'm just trying to think here what I'm saying, because it's the problem with this past participle that sometimes there are kind of grey areas. Yeah. They're not. Sort of a verb, sort of an adjective, you know, and they are very kind of hard.
Yeah.
So the point I'm making is simply that when you have a past participle, the agent is normally in the instrumental, right? That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So the question here is what is the agent here? And the agent would be he, because he is the one who's satisfied.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's not the agent. He has to be.
Yeah.
So because of that, because he here is not an instrumental, it's so, I would then regard satisfy as an adjective to he rather than as a verb. If it really was a past participle in its full extent, the agent would have to be an instrumental, right? It's always like that. That is how the passive works. The passive, by definition, the agent is an instrumental.
This isn't passive.
It has a past participle, so you'd expect it to be passive. Yeah.
But this isn't a passive sentence.
It isn't, precisely. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying that Santuddho here is used as an adjective instead.
In other words, if it's used in a passive sentence, then the agent's...
Right, precisely. Exactly, precisely right.
Yeah, that's the confusing
That makes sense. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, yeah,
right.
I'm not being very clear here. So it's an active sentence. If it is an active sentence, there's two possibilities. Either the past participle is used in an active way, which it can be in very rare circumstances, or it is more like here that the past participle actually is more like an adjective, so it agrees. It actually, you know, it actually qualifies the man directly rather than actually being a sentence verb. Yeah.
Predicate adjective.
Yeah. You're right. But thanks for it. That's good. Yep. So everybody happy with that one now? Yeah. So Santutto. So Sanasmena Santutto hoti. Living beings experience in happiness. So experience here is presumably patisangbe denti. You have the enti ending, present third person present plural. Living beings is satta. They are the agents, so it has to be satta. It's nominative and it's plural. Satta, long A at the end. Satta patisangbe denti. And what they experience is unhappiness, so it's dukkhang. And that would have to be the patient. So satta dukkhang patisangbe denti.
Either one. Is absolutely no difference why you would choose one or the other? I mean, is there a slight gradation of meaning there?
Satta is a huge common word. Buddha is much more rare. This one. Yeah.
Rare.
Buddha is more rare. Yeah. Satta is a standard word for creature or being. Yeah.
Buddha, I know you can use some for like devas.
Yeah.
Can you use satta for deva?
Satta can be anybody. Yeah. Can be human, any creature, any being whatsoever. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But Buddha often has a sense of being specifically referenced to certain devas, lower devas.
Mm.
Yeah. The lay disciples come to the place. So come is presumably agacchanti, perhaps? Or maybe it's upasankamanti, but I take it to be agacchanti, to come. And it's a third person plural, so agacchanti. And lay disciples is upasaka, has to be plural, long A at the end. It's nominative plural, upasaka. And place here could be desan, for example. Desa is place. So it will have to be in the accusative, because it is desa. I think that's where they're coming. So upasaka desan agacchanti. Make sense?
Yeah, they have tanam.
Tanam, tanam is fine. Yeah, tanam is place. Yeah. Do they? Upasankamanti, okay. Okay, upasankamanti, yeah, okay. So it should be the word upasankamanti, which usually means, usually is translated as approach or go to rather than come.
Yeah.
But come usually will be usually be given by the verb agacchati, rather. So it's a bit. It's a bit, I feel, imprecise here, but which makes life much more miserable for us. So if it is upasankamanti, then it's just as you say, it's upasaka yena tanam tena upasankamanti.
Yes.
Or tena upasankamanti.